Guys, this morning we're going to kind of close out the month. Not kind of, we are close the month, but building friendship like Jesus. Man, we know we all think, man, Jesus had it easy because he's so divine. He's a divine being. Oh, he had to work with some relationships and some friendships.
Yes, he did.
You know, here's something to think about. Think about this. How many people do you know, and you can say that they have 12 close friends, and they see value in those 12 relationships? That's a lot of people to be dealing with. That's a lot of minds, emotions, and heart, and characteristics to be dealing with. You know, me personally, I don't know many people that could say that they have 12 close friends, but Jesus did. He chose 12 men to walk with close to for 18 months. Now grab hold of that. We're not talking, hey, see you today and I'm going to go home and see you tomorrow. I'll see you in a couple of days. They walked together for 18 months every day, closely. Closely. Slept, ate. That's what they did for 18 months. But you know, if you read in Luke, Jesus prayed about that. He went up on the mountain. Had to talk with his father to pray, who are the guys that I'm going to need to call and follow me more closely? Because his ministry is 3 years, but in the mid part of his ministry, he's like, I need to get my team together. I need to get my people together. I need to get my people who are going to set the example of what it means to be like me. Because I'm God's example of what it looks like to be like God. That means you have to work with people.
Yeah.
Deal with people. And some of us, we don't like to work. We have a hard time dealing with it. But, you know, Jesus chose 12, and he had 12 servants that eventually became 12 friends that he loved. The scripture in John 15, 12 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Ain't it so easy to say? You need to love somebody like Jesus loved you. It's easier to say than do.
Yes.
Because people can rub us the wrong way. And I no longer want to be your friend. That's how we feel. That's how we feel. But we want to build a friendship like Jesus. And build a friendship like Jesus means we got to be like Jesus. Let's take a look at the 12 that Jesus chose to be friends with. Friends that he eventually came to love. Peter. So did some research. It's great when you read a lot of books, read a lot of people who do in-depth research. So Peter says his kind of characters were brash, impetuous, impulsive, and over-eager. He would give you his heart, but wouldn't keep his word. We kind of know that if you read the Bible. He would say a lot of things, but when it came down to show up sometimes, he went home to work. Andrew was bold, decisive, and deliberate. He was driven by a passion for the truth. The truth was what mattered to Andrew the most. James was fervent, passionate, zealous, insensitive, ambitious, and overconfident. John, absolute in thought, is cut and dry with him, zealous about the truth, and an extremist as a young man. How do you identify John like that? What do we know about James and John? They were known as the sons of what?
Thunder.
You know, I can kind of get that when you're young, but there's something about us. When you're young, you think you just know it all. Think about it. They ask the Lord for permission. He wants to call fire down the Lord. We can set it off right now. We can go ahead and set it off. Some of us were like, yeah, I probably would have been like, yeah, I would have asked Jesus. Let's do it.
Well,
you know? But Jesus like, no, we're going to work with you. We're going to get you where you need to get to. We know John, as time goes on, the age happens. He went from being a son of thunder to becoming a what? Amen, an apostle of love. The love was always there. Jesus said, we just got to work it and get it out. We got to bring it to the front and dial back some of that thunder. You know, Philip was a man who believed in facts and figures. He was a fact-period guy. He was by the book, practical-minded, but not forward-thinking, pessimistic, narrow-minded, and not a visionary. That was Philip. Nathaniel, who also known as Bartholomew, his other name in the Bible, student of the scripture, strong spiritual interest, faithful, diligent, honest. Here's the key thing, prejudice. Like, what? Is he prejudiced? I can't even prejudice. A Scripture in John 1:46 says that when Philip found Nathanael up under the tree, and he tells him, hey, we found the Messiah, his reply was, can anything what? Can anything good come from? Wow. What? Is everything bad there? I mean, that's your viewpoint, everything's bad? Now that happened there? Kind of a prejudiced statement. It's not saying he's racist. His view was like, well, what's really good up there, you know? Some of us have to tap there.
Yeah.
Is anything good up there? We can be prejudiced. But Jesus said, oh, we're going to work through that too. You my guy. Matthew, humble, tax collector, publican. Publican actually is just another word for tax collector, but they use it in there. And it says, he was despised among the Jews, his own people. We know why he was despised, because he was a tax collector. I think a lot of us, if we knew who worked at the IRS, we'd kind of despise him too today. There'd be prejudice right there, but Lord, we got to work on that part. Well, I got to say this IRS president, you know. Thomas, pessimistic, but he was loyal, loved deeply, and an example of strength. You know, I look at Thomas because Thomas we always know as the one who was what, very doubting. Doubting Thomas. But when I look deeper, when they say, well, no, Thomas, you know, he was doubting, pessimistic, he was loyal. And it went back to when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Mm-hmm. And it goes back before that, and when they came reported, hey, Lazarus is dying. And Jesus said, well, I need to go here so that I can die. And Thomas says, well, let us open the door so that we may die.
Wow.
It's even his pessimistic attitude, he was loyal and he had the love of the Lord. James, son of Alphaeus, I should say, they didn't have much on him. Can't really find that. They said little report him in the Bible. But then there's Simon Zealot, who he was part of the political party, the Zealots, which was interesting to be a researcher of that party back in the day. And I didn't put a lot in there because there's a lot of information on that party. Simon was very political. But this party was known to be very violent, and they said during those days, considered outlaw. Mm-hmm. Because if you didn't agree with their political views, they were willing to go to blows. You can fight. They didn't talk words. They would literally, I'm gonna kill you. It's my way of no way at all. I thought, wow, geez, why would you choose this guy? Wait, you gonna walk 18 months with this guy here? It's like, wow. And these are the people Jesus chose. Then there's Judas, son of James. Since he was tender, childlike heart, compassionate, gentle, sweet-spirited soul, they put in quotation beside it and said, he really fit the category of being mama's boy. They said he really fit the category of being a mama's boy. Then there's Judas Iscariot. He loved the world more than he loved Jesus. So he was full of hypocrisy. And they say he also has some tendencies of zealots, where it felt like Judas wanted to, like, you're going to be the one that's going to overthrow the Roman Empire. But when that was not what was happening, what was already in him overtook him. So therefore, he betrayed our Lord. You know, Jesus was in his political friendship. And he sees the value in it. Are you good at friendships? Do you see the value in friendship? Let me ask you a question. If the Lord sent you to put together a team to save the rest of this creation, would you have chosen any of these people? Now remember, you're going to do like Jesus. You're going to go the night before up on the mountainside. You're going to have a conversation with your father, and you and God will come to a consensus. These are the people you need to choose when you come back off the mountain. Are you choosing people? You go in 18 months. God says, they don't go home. It's 18 months. They're going to have to provide for your food, your meal, everything, your clothes. These are people in your mouthpiece. Would you have chosen any one of these guys? Would any of these guys appeal to you? None of them? No. But Jesus trusted God. And he trusted God's plan. You know what? We're going to build friendship with these guys. He sought to see the best in these guys and say, let's get at it. His attitude towards friendship is far from the dominant attitude in the modern Western culture. And here in America, I can't speak for other countries, but here in America, we do have a dominant attitude that runs through our life. We believe in our friendship, somewhere I've got to have the upper hand. I've got to be down for it. Jesus wasn't like that. I'm trying to make you better. I'm trying to shape you better. I'm trying to help you. And he put all these people in one pot, from the mama's boy to the radical political guy, to the guy who was prejudiced, to the tax collector that everybody hated. He put them all in one pot and said, all right, this is the right team. We need to learn to build relationships like these. You know, Jesus took the time to speak to the 12 about the nature and importance of friendship. In John 15:13, it says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. I think Jesus was setting that example for these guys here and us. You know, Jesus wants to help us understand what the greatest love is really like. And he doesn't turn to knowledge, power, money, notoriety, possession, marriage, or sex, you name it. He doesn't turn to nothing else. He just doesn't. Turn to friendship. All these 12 guys who are different backgrounds, and show how these guys are able to come together and build some amazing friendship and change the world. For Jesus, friendship is a relationship of deep love and sacrifice. That is more valuable than worldly and fleshly assets. The marker of being a friend of Jesus is being a good friend to each other. That's how important Jesus makes friendship. Remember, the marker of being a friend of Jesus is being a good friend to each other.
Yeah.
But a lot of us in here know each other. How's our friendship with one another? How's our friendship with one another? We all come from different backgrounds. Different cultures, raised different ways. We have different views, we believe different things. Some of us like hot food, some of us don't like hot food. So why would I come to your house if I didn't keep offering me hot food? I don't understand. Some of us have an attitude, it's okay, I'm gonna force it on you. Don't force it on me. Respect me. Respect. I seem like hot food, but this is my chicken plan. Building friendship, you know. Can I be a good friend for that? You know, Jesus teaches us about both his friendship with us and our friendship with each other. This is so important. John 15:15 says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. This shows a change in where these guys' relationship with Jesus had come. He chose them where they were at, and their relationship has elevated where he is. You're no longer servants. When I first met you, you were just servants. God loves you to serve, work on the mission. Now we have built a friendship. I call you a friend now. That shows growth in their character.
Yeah.
For Jesus to call them friend, they had to grow from the people that they were to a point where Jesus said, now I can call you a friend. I can love you like a friend. You know, our friendship should reflect openness. It's one of the key things of building a great friendship with people. We cultivate true friendships when we are open and honest. As we share with one another, intimacy is fostered and our hearts are united. Openness creates connection, and the Word of God allows for openness. We can be open even about our weaknesses and our failures, because we know that we are always loved and accepted. Do not let your sins, your health issues, disabilities, shortcomings, differences, or imperfection shame you into pushing each other away.
Amen.
Don't allow them to do that.
Amen.
Can I be open with you? Will you be open with me? Can I be vulnerable with you? Will you be vulnerable with me? We have to realize that, you know, we are just not church members.
Sure.
You are my friends, just as Jesus said I am.
Yeah.
Building friendships like Jesus is the only way to build some friendships. As we close out here, guys, John 15:17, Jesus goes on to say, this is my command. Love each other. That is at the core of building great friendships. You've got to love each other. There's something I always said, I heard from my church, I didn't put it in here, but I never forget, there's a lot of quotes I'll share, this quote that says, person said, if you like Jesus, you have to learn to love, you know, love. Trust me, we all are not lovable at all times. I just have a friend, brother, who used to say, Doc, I love you, but I don't like you. That's what I was loving the wrong way. Like, I love you, but I don't like you right now. He was letting me know, I'm just trying to be hard to be like Jesus and love you like Jesus. And then another brother says, a quote that sticks to me, quite a few things stick to me, and I'm so glad I wrote it in the big room. He says, nobody really cares how much you really know until they know how much you really care. That is a powerful statement. Friend wants to know how much you really care about. I mean, but you know what a challenge this is to so many of us that Jesus says, this is my command, love each other. Do we see being a good friend as central to the Christian faithfulness? You know, it has been said that our attempt at Christian faithfulness, good things like leadership and service, can actually be the thing that consumes so much of our time and capacity that we don't invest in friendship. So many times we'll focus on those other aspects. I need to focus on the circle, I need to focus on the truth. But you know, before all those roles were created, Jesus was good in friendship.
Yeah,
that's right.
So we gotta work on this other stuff so we can be a human, so we can be human. He didn't come and say, all right, I choose you. You're going to lead this. He didn't do that. He said, no, there's a lot of things in it. We got to clean that out first. And we got to make you a friend. So you'll love your friend with brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. And then you have no problem saying, hey, brother, you lead and I follow you. Sister, you serve and I follow you. But first, we got to build that friendship so that you can love one another deeply. Those other rules come later on. You know, perhaps we've missed something important in what Jesus has to say. And what will these friendships look like? I think Jesus has already shown us. He loved the 12 who had 12 different backgrounds. Jesus has shown us by the love that he showed the 12 different backgrounds. Friendships are relationships of love, genuine love, expressed love, love and act through self-sacrifice. Is that how we view friendship today? That sort of friendship you see to cultivate in this church. Mm-hmm. Family is a challenge, guys. We are challenged to live out our identity as his friends by loving one another in deep, sacrificial, and meaningful friendship. You cannot say you love Jesus if you don't love him. You cannot say you are a friend of Jesus if you're not a friend of him. Maybe to be like your brother sometimes with me. I love you, Steve, but I don't like you. It's okay. It's okay. That's a part of being friendship. You know, we are challenged to cultivate friendship and love and boldness and to value friendship as highly as Jesus does. That's Jesus' challenge to us, to cultivate a friendship. Right. So what will you do with that challenge? Are we going to build some amazing friendships in there? Are we going to cultivate that friendship through all the highs and lows, the bumps and the smooth roads? Are we going to look beyond our shortcomings and our failings? Are we going to say, you know what, we can work through that?
Right.
I'm going to love you like Jesus loved me. Because my life hasn't been all peaches. Will you decide to move from being a distant friend to being a close friend who will love deeply like Jesus? That's the friend I need.
Yeah.
That's the friend I need. It's easy, man. When somebody don't treat me right or say something wrong, it's easy for me to put some distance. Not only stick on, but put a great amount of distance. It's just too easy. It's too easy. But then again, that's not Jesus. That's just sitting.
No.
Give it to me. It's not Jesus. It's me. But we start loving. Will you love like Jesus did? I'm going to quote the scripture one more time and close out here. This is my command. This is Jesus' command. Love each other. Mm-hmm. Let's build like Jesus.
Amen.
Let's be like Jesus.
Amen.
Let's love one another. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.